I believe that I've not been dealing very well with errors and mistakes when I was younger. So through my research, I've appreciated errors and mistakes as part of life, and that they have both positive aspects and negative aspects. And this is a big learning which I've taken away, I believe.
Welcome to We All Make Mistakes, the podcast that finds value in what everyone else is trying to avoid, getting it wrong, or as Barack Obama once put it, screwing it up. My mission is to challenge what it means to be successful and to show you that people at the top of their game have not always made perfect choices. That's reassuring, right? My name is Ben Voyer, and I'm a professor of entrepreneurship at ESCP Business School and a behavioral scientist. My job is to understand and change people's behavior to make them better at what they do. But we're not here to talk about me, hey? In this episode, we'll talk about mistakes from an academic point of view with a world expert on mistakes. We'll learn about humility and why it's a crucial skill to become better at overcoming mistakes. We'll receive advice on how to practice and promote humility in the workplace and develop a culture that fosters humility as a way to better deal with mistakes. And we'll be reassured to know that even the best experts in the world on mistakes still make mistakes. Our guest today is a failure expert, not because he experienced it a lot, but because he's been studying it for a very long time and has come to some useful conclusions. Professor Christoph Seckler teaches entrepreneurial strategy at ESCP in Berlin. He's an advocate for that one thing that could change the error culture management in our companies, humility. A discovery so significant that he has been recognized among the top 40 under 40 by the German magazine Capital last year, and his research has been featured across German-speaking media, the World Economic Forum, and ESCP's own media, The Choice. Christoph, hello, and a warm welcome to We All Make Mistakes.
Hi, Ben. It's a great pleasure being here.
Thank you so much, and likewise. We have a lot of things that we want to talk to you about, but I'm quite interested in understanding what led you to kind of embark on this journey to better understand why people make mistakes and why it's so important to develop humility as a personal quality.
I think it came when I started doing my PhD back in the days, and I was a bit desperate because I couldn't find a good topic that I was interested in. At one time, I came across a study, and they were talking about the positive effects of errors and mistakes. And at that time, I was also working as an auditor, and as an auditor, you do a lot of mistakes, and it's kind of devastating. Because it hurts doing all these mistakes, and you want to do a good job. And suddenly this paper was talking about all the positive effects of errors and mistakes, like learning and innovation. And I was immediately drawn to this topic.
That's really cool. So in some ways, you used or focused your research as almost a kind of, you know, a way to solve that kind of dilemma or cognitive dissonance around making mistakes in your previous career.
What really fascinates me about learning from mistakes is kind of this fundamental paradox in a way. On the one hand side, you know, everybody knows that you should learn from your errors and mistakes, and we have all these sayings and we teach it to our children. And then on the other hand side, we all know that we are not that good in learning from mistakes, and we don't talk about our mistakes, and we don't analyze our mistakes. We rather analyze our successes.
You mentioned something that I also thought was very relevant to understand the bigger picture about mistakes, which is the cultural context. And so the extent to which our surroundings affect how we value or not mistakes and how we take risks in the first instance is probably something that plays a role, right? Is there anything that you can share with us about that?
The people that we surround us with have a heavy influence on how we deal with our errors and mistakes. Sometimes it's very easy. With some people, you can easily talk about your own mistakes and you don't have to fear anything. And sometimes it's just, you know, it's you feel that it's kind of difficult to speak up. What we know from research is that the culture has a tremendous effect on how individuals and teams deal with their errors and mistakes. And there are great studies showing how the error management culture has an effect on performance, on innovation, on learning, on resilience. So all good things that can happen to firms.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any vivid memory of one or maybe some of the mistakes that you encounter while practicing as an auditor? And how now, in retrospect, now that you're an expert on this, how you would analyze and go about them and reconcile the fact that, yes, you've made a mistake, but actually this is not the end of the world?
The other day, I just thought about one thing which, in hindsight, I would consider kind of a mistake, though I'm not sure whether it was really a mistake. And it was during my time as an auditor, I was also a PhD student, and I was spending some time in Oxford. There was the chance to do some lecturing in one of the colleges in Oxford. I thought about applying for this lecturing position, and I really felt strongly about it because it's so unique to Oxford. But then I decided not to do it because I got the advice that, I mean, I should rather focus on my research instead of doing the lecturing. And I believe that in hindsight, I kind of regret not having done it. I think this is a tremendous experience. But now I think it was a mistake.
You do a lot of work on humility. And that's something I find fascinating because I was recently talking to people at Cartier as part of their research chair Turning Points. And one of the core values that Cartier is trying to spread among the workforce is humility. And that's not really always one of the things you think about when you think about companies and Salesforce. It's more about the end goal rather than the human attitudes that people should display throughout. So I would like to dig a bit into the topic of humility. Could you perhaps start by giving us how you define or how the literature defines humility in a psychological or organizational context?
Yeah, I think that's important because humility has such a different connotation in the literature and in day-to-day language. So in literature, humility is defined as something rather positive. So it is a willingness to see oneself as we are. So it's really the willingness that you try to get feedback on how you are. The second thing is that you have an appreciation for the work done by others. And it is also associated with teachability. So humble people have the urge to learn also from others, from people who know more than they do. So it's self-awareness. In essence, it's appreciation for others and it's teachability. These three things.
In a recent study, you found that humility is related to how constructively people deal with their own mistakes. What do you actually mean in that context, and why is humility so important to better learn from mistakes?
The background for the study was that when you looked into literature, thought about why people are more constructive in dealing with their own mistakes, the answer was over the last 30, 40 years always that you had to be self-confident. So you had to have a strong self-efficacy, so strong belief in your own competence. And the thinking behind it is kind of intuitively, you know, kind of easy to understand. The thinking is that if you believe in your own competence and then something goes wrong, then you believe that you can overcome this kind of issue and go on and learn from it and communicate about it. So this was kind of almost set in stone. So self-efficacy was kind of the panacea for dealing with errors and mistakes. And then when we did the study, and this was actually part of my PhD with studying auditors and how they dealt with their own errors and mistakes, we encountered that some people who we thought would actually deal very well with their mistakes, so they were very open, very little defensive in how they reacted to errors and mistakes, they were not so much what you would consider to have high self-efficacy. They were rather modest and down to earth. And we thought this was kind of interesting because this was so different from how literature thought about it for all these years. We found that humility is actually a much better predictor of an error management orientation, so constructive dealing with errors, than self-efficacy is.
In research, we often look, and especially in developmental psychology, at how young boys, young girls come to develop who they are and develop certain personality traits, certain attitudes. And we know that sex stereotyping happens at a very young age. And it seems that a lot of the attributes that are associated with younger males are less around others and less around humility and less around kindness, but more about being stronger, being better, and all the things that make the kind of research I do, we tend to call an independent self. So building up an independent self, whereas humility requires you to think in a more interdependent manner. You are humble and you're sharing that humility with others. So what do you think are educational practices? What is the role that our educational practices maybe play in the lack of humility that we sometimes see in society?
I believe that the educational system has a strong say in how, the values that we develop. And I believe that fostering some more humility would definitely do good. When you develop a strong self-awareness of yourself, you can make good decisions because you know yourself, you know the environment. When you appreciate others, you have kind of this collaborative, co-creative flavor that seems to be very effective currently. And teachability is certainly something that a lot of people talk about. I think that humility is really something that is helpful. And this is the reason why I think it should be fostered. I think how the educational system could do it, well, probably just needs some more thinking. But I think just changing the attitude towards humility, so taking it from this low self-confidence kind of connotation towards something that is really a character strength would already bring us a long way.
If you push towards too much humility, isn't there a risk of getting more imposter syndromes? And by that, I'm perhaps especially thinking about minorities, anyone that is perhaps already unsure of whether they're at the right place in an organization. And if on top of this, they have a mandate to be humble, isn't there a risk that it kind of limits their future development and give them more and more fear that maybe they're not the right person or maybe they're not the person other people think they are, which, is part of the imposter syndrome?
I would probably say that the question is whether too much humility in this sense is kind of giving you imposter syndrome and kind of is causing something bad. Having a strong sense of your own self, which is kind of a characteristic of humility, is probably also associated with a stronger confidence in who you are. So I would probably say, from how I view humility, that probably more is good instead of there's too much of a good thing.
So what you're saying is basically there can be, humility is the one thing that you can never get enough of.
In a way, the first part of humility, which is this willingness to see oneself accurately, is kind of a key component of humility. And I believe that if you have an accurate sense of yourself, this also gives you the confidence in, in displaying who you are and, it should be related to some kind of confidence. So I believe that it's kind of related to self-awareness. And having a good self-awareness, I think, should also be somehow related with a good confidence about oneself.
So I'm interested in learning a bit more whether we can link humility and the creation of a culture that welcomes learning from mistakes.
The first point is probably to create a positive attitude towards humility so that people think, yeah, this is actually something good. And the behavior associated with it is good instead of bad. The second thing is that we believe that you can establish cultural norms that are kind of helpful for humble behavior. You can become a role model yourself. So you can be appreciative with your employees. You can be teachable. You can ask for feedback. And the last thing which we believe is very helpful is to make it easy for people to be humble in the firm. So when people think that it's easy to kind of display behavior, then they also will do it. Here we think that it's particularly difficult difficult to make it easy for people to see themselves accurately. So we probably know this all. Asking for feedback is kind of tricky in sometimes, particularly when there are critical situations. And the reason is that it's kind of, we are potentially threatened by bad feedback in a way. So if we establish good feedback practices, I think this will bring us quite a way in developing a firm that is capable in providing feedback, and as such, help people to view themselves as they are.
We've talked about the concept of psychological safety in we all make mistakes. And I'm wondering whether this is something that's come up in your research, the importance of psychological safety, and whether humility, psychological safety contributes or have a role to play in making organizations better able to deal with mistakes.
I believe that humility is closely related to psychological safety also. It's also related to error management and error management culture. I would assume that CEO humility, for example, or a leader's humility translates into team psychological safety. So when a leader is humble and recognizes own weaknesses, then probably this signals to the team that they can also speak openly about their errors and mistakes. So they have this belief that they will not be punished for it. So there should be a strong relation between these concepts. This is something that we need to examine in future research.
I've got a few questions now that look more into how you've learned about mistakes from your own research in a way that can help you as a person, as an individual. Has the own research you do on the topic changed how you behave and how you deal with mistakes yourself?
I think there's some truth to it that a lot of researchers always choose topics that they're not particularly good with. And I believe that I've not been dealing very well with errors and mistakes when I was younger. I thought that they were a big threat. I don't know, but that they were, I mostly saw the negative aspects. And through my research, I've appreciated errors and mistakes as part of life and that they have both positive aspects and negative aspects. And this is a big learning, which I've taken away, I believe.
You often have the idea that making mistakes is about falling, and so therefore you need to jump right back and go harder. But humility has a very soft side to it. So I think showing the power of something that is has got a much softer side to it, and also perhaps is not associated with what people would see as natural response, is not only counterintuitive, but given the results, very reassuring for how we should handle mistakes and how we should handle the culture that's around mistakes. Is there a type of mistakes that you feel you do less because you know how to deal with them or you know how to anticipate them?
I think I still do a lot of mistakes. Probably the mistakes change a bit because some things I've learned in life and probably then I don't, or hopefully don't do these mistakes too often again. We know from computer science, for example, that every person does 6 mistakes per minute.
We've probably done a lot so far.
These are, of course, also small mistakes. You know, it's kind of grammatical mistakes when we speak. It is that we talk about things that we didn't want to talk about or whatever. But it is just part of human nature that we do mistakes. And I think we just have to deal with it. And of course, this also, I mean, the mistakes come out of the heuristics that we have developed over time as humans. And they are shortcuts for us that help us navigate a bit through the world. So just the flip side of these heuristics, which are otherwise very helpful in making decisions, for example.
Do you have a kind of 1-2-3 rules about, you know, when I do a mistake, I first do this, then I do that? And I'm also interested in as to whether within these tools that you've developed, maybe tools such as having a good sense of humor or putting things in perspective or anything that could be easy for anyone listening to this episode to kind of better process what they can learn from the mistakes they make?
So personally, what I found to be very helpful is to, whenever a mistake happens, to briefly take a minute or so to think about it and to think about whether this was just, you know, a one-time mistake or whether there was something more systematic behind it. And I think this is in contrast to what you sometimes read in books, that you kind of do this root cause analysis, which is very heavy and long-term kind of thinking involving a lot of people. I think it is more helpful to do it in a lean way. So just to briefly think about the thing and draw some lessons from it and then move on.
Now's come the time for us to dig into what we call the Proust questionnaire. So it's a series of short answers, slightly philosophical, about how our guest relates to mistakes. So let me just kick in with the first question. What's a mistake you keep on making, but you hope one day you won't?
I think I fall from too many opportunities. I feel that there are so many opportunities, I too often say yes in a way.
Is there a piece of advice you've received that you wish you had not followed?
I usually try to get a lot of advice, particularly when there are important decisions. I think that in the end, I treat advice as some kind of input that I, you know, then use for my own decision. If I have taken a bad advice, then it was probably at this point was valuable in some ways, and I integrated it into my thinking, and then I took the decision, but it was my decision. So I think we should take responsibility for our own things.
What mistakes are you the most forgiving about with others?
I think I'm rather forgiving with most mistakes, probably with all mistakes. I would probably sharply differentiate it though with violations. So a mistake is something when people unintentionally do something wrong, and this happens all the time. And I mean, this is something unintentional. And I think you should not punish people, because when you punish people, then they don't talk about it and you cannot solve it anymore. But when people intentionally do something wrong, I believe I'm rather harsh. This is a distinction which I try to make, and which I believe, based on my research also, which should be made. So be forgiving with mistakes. Don't be forgiving with violations.
Christoph, thank you so much for your time today and for being on We All Make Mistakes.
And it was a fantastic pleasure. Many thanks for this very interesting conversation here.
Thanks for listening to our episodes of We All Make Mistakes, the podcast that finds value in what everyone else is trying to avoid, getting it wrong. With me, Ben Voyer, a professor of entrepreneurship at ESCP Business School. We hope you've enjoyed our series dedicated to learning what it truly means to be successful, making mistakes, and more. If this is your first time listening, we invite you to check our past episodes. We spoke with Dame Inga Beale, the first female and former CEO of Lloyd's of London, who taught us how to embrace our identities and celebrate authenticity at work. Ceramic artist Emmanuel Bose reminded us that mistakes can be seen as beautiful. Clean tech entrepreneur and CEO of Plan A, Lubomila Jordanova, on how a little bit of humor can go a long way and how we can all embrace our role as a powerhouse capable of contributing to the fight against climate change. Cartier International President and CEO Cyril Vigneron on how not to be afraid to get a one-way ticket to the unknown. Thanks to all the team who worked with me on this, Emily, Lara, You Love Words, and the recording studio L'Arrière Boutique. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please hit subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. If you just can't get enough, check out Her Voice, our sister podcast, aiming to contribute to women's visibility in their domains of expertise, powered by ESCP's media, The Choice. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.